Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for you and me. For the children of me.
Well, good Thursday night to you. This is Brother Brandon Teague coming to you live from Faith Baptist Church. And this is the Old Paths Broadcast. We're stacking stones of truth and laying them one on top of the other, trying to build something to leave behind for our children, if there is a behind to leave them to, because we're coming up on the end of days as far as the Lord's church is concerned. We'll soon be out of here. That's my belief anyway. You may have your own. But I believe we're getting close. Things are moving at a rapid pace. This world is deteriorating. Our society is deteriorating. America is crumbling, crumbling from the inside out. And we see it happening more and more frequently. And boy, I sound like the agent of doom and gloom tonight. But I just have to say, it's time to wave the warning flag. It's time to sound the alarm bell, and that's what we're trying to do here on this program. We're not here to tickle ears. We're not here to make people feel better about themselves. We're not here to win friends and influence people. We're here to give the truth out and try to be an alarm and a warning bell for those who are still asleep to wake them up. And I want to bring my guest host on tonight, and I'm telling you, I'm very thankful for him. And this show wouldn't be half the show that it is without him. And that's Brother Jason Cooley from Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. Good to have you with me tonight, brother.
Amen, brother. Good to be here. And nice weather today. Good day out here, and the Lord's really blessed us this week, and I've been keeping busy with everything and just preparing to pray for my wife in the next 4 or 5 weeks here. She's anytime she'll be ready to have, we'll be ready to have another child, so just keep that in prayer.
Congratulations.
As time goes on, we're grateful to God for all his goodness to us thus far, and we know he's going to see us all the way through.
Well, amen. It's been a pretty wild, stressful, and hectic week on my end. I've told you we lost a member of our family this week. We lost one of our horses to colic and just a tragedy. And my family, you know, I know it's an animal, but still, my wife and my daughter, they're grieving pretty hard over the loss of that mare, and they raised her from a colt, and I'm very thankful tonight that that you can only hear me, that you can't see me or smell me. I've been running cows in the pasture up until time to come right up for the show, so I threw on another shirt and came on. I'm certainly not dressed for the occasion, but I'm here, so praise God you can only hear me tonight. But anyway, so it's been an eventful day. I'm glad for the weather. I'm glad it wasn't too hot, because otherwise, I don't know if I'd have made it out there running around the pasture chasing cows around. But that dispels any belief that that, you know, we're all just a bunch of cushy guys sitting in offices and air conditioning all day. But anyway, I'm glad to be on here with you tonight. I got a cool air conditioner blowing on me now, so everything's good.
Amen, brother. It's nice to have a summer, actually, because when you live in Minnesota here, you get winter about 9 months out of the year. So anytime you can get a little bit of summer, you're thankful for it, because it don't take very long before that winter comes back with a vengeance.
No, I'm telling you, well, that's kind of the way we are with summer down here, because we got plenty of summer down here. We get very little cool. So we're thankful. Every time we get a little cool breeze, we want to thank the Lord, because we don't get that many of them anymore. But anyway, we can talk about the weather all evening, but we better get into this program. And, you know, this show that we're doing tonight, of course, it's based off of of something you told me a couple weeks ago that you had planned on preaching on. And we talked about it a little bit as we were getting ready for a show, if I'm not mistaken, or we were talking about a show. And you told me you had planned on preaching on the strange woman of Proverbs chapter 7. And we talked a little bit about a woman in particular that I know personally. And as a matter of fact, we mentioned her last week a little bit, and how she fit with that Proverbs 7 woman. And so this is not unfamiliar territory for me. And why don't you talk about why you felt the need to do a sermon series on this subject and what led us into this program?
Well, brother, I'll tell you, as the Lord had led me, I'd been thinking about it for a while. The strange woman, the attire of a harlot, a few other things that I had been thinking about. And in the summertime here, what a great time to do that when we consider that most people's clothes come off here during the summertime, and clothes are just part of it. They're not the only thing, but really I got to thinking about it, and as I had read through the Bible and read through these scriptures and looked at it and everything, we started to see, somebody needs to preach on it. We always hear the preaching on the Proverbs 31 woman, but you never hear about the anti-type. You never hear about the Proverbs 7 woman. You never hear about the woman, this strange woman, the one that doesn't please God. And I thought about how our sons and our daughters, this is applicable to all, because our sons need to understand this, so they, when they seek out a bride, when the Lord allows that to happen in their life, that they're able to, they're able to understand the attributes of a strange woman, and that they would stay away from that woman, that they wouldn't, they wouldn't fall prey to her. And the Bible says that the young man is the one that the foolish young man. We won't talk about him a whole lot here this week. In fact, I'm going to preach on this young man here, the simple man that follows this strange woman here sometime in the future. But anyway, it's applicable to the young man. It's applicable to the father to understand, to train his son, to help teach his son and to identify the characteristics of a strange woman. Maybe the woman's not even a strange woman, but she is taking on the attributes of one. And someone could simply say to her, now listen, we don't do this. And the reason we don't do this is because we're not the strange woman that the Bible talks about. We're not that woman. When a father, trains his daughters, and a mother trains their daughters, they train them to be modest and to be shamefaced with sobriety, and they train them that way. And this is a perfect example of it. Say, listen, no, we don't do that because that's an attribute of a strange woman. You say, how can you teach young people that? You can teach them that. You're not calling them a strange woman. What you're saying to them is, listen, these are attributes. We stay away from this. Why? Because the Bible frowns upon this behavior.
Right.
And we don't do this. They have a reason. One of the major problems in fundamentalism today is the fact that they just tell you a set of rules and say, we just keep these rules. But they never tell you why. They never educate you from the scriptures why we dress a certain way, why we talk a certain way, why we don't get involved in certain things in our lives.
So I remember when I was in Bible college, I remember there was some teaching on this passage, and I do remember it very clearly. We were outside sitting on some bleachers, and it was some chapel service we had outside, and I remember there was a man by the name of Bruce Engelman, and he taught on it, but he taught that the definition of a strange woman, as he put it, was any woman that was not your wife. And I don't think that really went far enough in describing her. And,
no.
But that was the way it was put. And that was at a fundamental Bible college. And like you said, a lot of the preaching doesn't go into it. It doesn't get descriptive. And, I can think of a million reasons why that probably is. Number one, you got preachers who know that if they preached on it, Number one, they would offend some of the female members of the congregation. They would offend maybe some husbands of those female members, or some dads or some moms of those female members, and might actually be run out of the church. They might lose some tithing members. They might, you know, or that maybe they just hit on the they skim around the edges of it, and just in the name of, hey, we've got standards in this church, don't you come in here dressing like a hussy. You know, I've heard that kind of preaching too. But again, it's not just what, but it's why. And that's really what we're going to get into tonight, if I'm not mistaken.
Amen, brother. That's exactly what we're going to do, is look into why and just kind of look at her attributes of a strange woman and say, listen, you may not be a woman out there. You may not be a woman that is taking on the attire of a harlot. By the way, this lady in this story is actually a married lady. Mm-hmm. She's not a hired harlot. She's not someone that is working really for money, prostituting her body out. She's really not doing that. She's a married woman that is taking on the attire of a harlot. She's a married woman that is acting like a strange woman, or that is a strange woman, but she's taking on the actions and the attributes of a harlot. And the Bible is warning that listen, this can apply to anyone. It can apply to any lady in any situation, and that's why we want to know and get ourselves educated on this and understand what the Bible has to say, you know, about the subject.
Well, amen. Well, I tell you what, let's just go ahead and let's just start off by giving out the call-in number tonight, just in case. And, you know, I put the word out to a lot of the preachers who normally come in, call into the show to get their thoughts and opinions and their input on it tonight. But I'm going to go ahead and give that number out if you're out there listening tonight and you'd like to call in, weigh in. let me just say first off, you know, we're not on here to try to make anybody mad. We're just on here to tell the truth, preach the Bible. And in doing so, ultimately, you're going to offend some people, because truth does. It offends. It cuts. But understand something. Everything we're saying tonight's in love. I can tell you right now that I'm not sexist, and I do not degrade women. And I know Brother Cooley is the same as I am on the subject, that he would never degrade women, and he's not a sexist. But we believe the Word of God, and the Word of God is very clear on this. And if you're offended, you're offended at God. You're not offended at us, because we're just simply, you know, it's like somebody said, don't shoot me. I'm not the editor. I'm just the paper boy. So we're just God's paper boys tonight. We're throwing the paper. If you don't want it, don't ignore it. But you'll deal with God, because he's the one that wrote it. So, but anyway, let me give that call-in number, 646-915-9266. That's 646-915-9266. 9266 here on the Old Paths broadcast. Brother Cooley, you want to just go ahead and go to Proverbs 7 and do a little reading of the scripture? Is that what you want to do?
Amen. That sounds good.
All right. You want to read it? You want me to? I've got it in front of me. You got it in front of you. What do you want to do?
You go ahead, brother. You read verse 5 through 12, if you would.
Okay, sure will. The Bible says, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner.
Amen. You know, the Bible, we hear a lot of talk today about a Proverbs 31 woman. We hear a lot of talk about, you know, how industrious she is and everything else. But I very seldom hear a warning of the strange woman. I very seldom hear it warned about that there's a such thing as a strange woman or a harlot or a prostitute, someone that could, in fact, they could be in churches, they can be anywhere. But also there could be the characteristics of a strange woman, and that's what we're going to kind of zero in on here. Proverbs 7:21 says, "For with her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him." The first characteristic that we see of a strange woman. Now, first of all, let me back up and say this, that Solomon is looking through the casement of his window. I believe this is Solomon. And I believe that he is watching. I believe that he is watching through the gate. He's watching a simple young man, a young man that is void of understanding. And he is going to fall for this lady's trap that she is setting for him. And
right.
Solomon is trying to warn young men, don't fall for this. And one of her first characteristics is a flattering tongue.
Mm-hmm.
We just read Proverbs 7:21, then you go to Proverbs 2:16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. So a characteristic of this strange woman is a flattering tongue.
So she's
the
a
lips
flirt.
Of a, yeah, she's flirting. She's being very forward with him with her tongue. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. To keep thee, in Proverbs 6:24, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. She's flirtatious, or she's a little too forward with her speaking. A little too easy does she sit around and talk to a bunch of men, or talk to a man in a way that is really not appropriate for a lady to talk to a man. You know, that is so common today. You made the comment and said that we're not sexist. No, I'm not sexist, but I believe that every feminist out there would call Jesus Christ a sexist. They would call God the Father a sexist. And the reason why is because God the Father in heaven set down an order for the sexes. And that order has been bucked by the devil from the Garden of Eden. And it has never stopped being bucked. It is at the height. We're at the height of feminism today. It's at an all-time high. It's destroyed it's really destroyed the deportment, the conversation, so to speak, of a woman and a man. It used to be that women wouldn't say, you would hear men say things that were crude, and another man would say, listen, I've said this before, so don't talk like that around my wife. Don't cuss around my wife like that. Don't use that language around her.
Right.
That used to be common. Well, now you hear the women using that language. You hear the women speaking the F word, the women talking dirty, the women talking flattering or flirtatious and just the complete opposite of the order that God had. The Bible says a lady is supposed to be chaste. It's the man that tries to go after her. You know, it's the man that is leading in that. And today what we have is we have the women that are leading in that. And what is that? That's a flattering tongue. It means to please or to gratify, as to flatter one's vanity or pride. So it's to prop up some man so they can, go in for the kill, so to speak. So they can try to get that man to... get that man to try to get interested in them or seduce that young man. It's usually the young and the simple man. That's who it is. It's the young, simple man that they're trying to. But it can be an older man as well. But anyway, this is the goal. And, one quote from a preacher that uses smooth and soft words to work upon the passions, to move the affections and win the hearts of men, and ensnare them and draw them to commit wickedness with her. And that, she can do it with her lips, brother. She can do a woman can say a few things to a man, and I mean that's all it takes.
All right. Well, you simply look at the story of the fall of man in Genesis, and what did God say? You listen to the voice of your wife. He hearkened to the voice of his wife.
Right, just like Abraham.
Right. A woman, and they know it, brother. They know. they know that they can make a man putty in their hands if they talk sweet enough. I mean, there's some truth. You know, that's scripture too. You know, a soft word breaketh the bone. That's what it says. Amen. And a soft tongue. Is that what it says? I can't remember exactly. It's slipping my mind. But you know, those soft words, they turn away wrath. They calm everything down. Soothing voice, flattery. It just melts. It melts a hard heart. It just has a way. And you know, and women know that. And some use it. Some use it the wrong way. Completely the wrong way.
Yes, they do. And they use it to their own destruction, to the destruction of the man. And the man will fall for that. You know, it's interesting. Your wife, like you said, and I'll take it to a biblical standpoint and a proper standpoint. The wife, she could speak a few words, and lady, you understand this one thing. It's okay for you to flatter your husband. It's okay for you to speak flirtatiously and to treat your husband like that. You know, as long as you're not doing it in a vain sense to try to do something wicked or evil, but as you're trying to, you know, we can receive that, and men will like that. Your husband will like that type of flattery and everything, that flirtatiousness. You know, and everything like that. So, but it can be, in this sense, it's used for evil. It's used, she is exciting his passions. That's why, lady, you have to be very careful how you speak to a man and the things you say to a man. I don't mean that because he's better than you. I'm saying just because of how men work. You see, I'm a man. I understand how men work. I understand if you say a few words to a man, you can get him excited and, you can lead a conversation down the wrong road very quickly.
Absolutely. That is absolutely true. But, you know, I have seen it time and time again, and I didn't want to go to this too soon in this conversation, but, you know, just here locally, and I'm sure this is, and I know it's a nationwide problem, but just here locally, there have been about four, maybe five cases in the last few years of female teachers who are seducing and having sexual relationships with their students. And several of them have gone to prison, and some a little closer to home didn't go to prison. And we talked about that last week. But it all starts, I mean, I can tell you right now, it didn't start from, you know, 15, 16-year-old students going up to their teacher and flirting with their teacher. It starts with the flattery of a woman upon a young man's ears. That's where it starts. And that's the same story. That's the same story we're reading here in the scripture.
That's right, brother. That's exactly what's happening. We're seeing a rise of that today in America. It's all over the place. I'll tell you, if it was men, they go after these men like you wouldn't believe, and they throw the key, they throw the key away, throw them in jail, and throw the key away. A lot of these women, some of them are getting off on this. They're not being charged as men are charged for that. But brother, the society is only as good as the women are. When America is sinking right now, and it's because the all-out assault on feminism, on the lady, on the biblical lady, and the mother and everything else like that, well, now we see when the ladies, when their life is not matched up with the scriptures, when they become the aggressors in wickedness, put a fork in it, buddy, it's done. This country's over. Because that's the direction that it goes, because a mother will produce what she is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it only takes a little bit of flattery on a simple young man. And you know, when I think about the simple young man, and I know you said that's another message, but I think about the simple young man, he must not have a good mother and father, first of all, because otherwise he'd have somebody teaching him and training him. He must not have any knowledge of the Word of God, because if he did, it would have given him wisdom. So what picture that I draw from this is a young man who doesn't know the Bible, a young man who doesn't have people that truly care about him, and you take a woman who takes advantage of that situation and steals that young man's heart, steals that young man's affection away because he's easy prey.
That's right. He is easy prey, and she sees that, and she knows that a lady knows that she can speak a few words to this to a young man. And like you said, we're seeing it in schools all the time. We're seeing this stuff come up. It just shows you, brother, these ladies shouldn't be there. That's the whole purpose. They shouldn't be teaching 17, 18-year-old boys and 16, 15, 16, 17-year-old boys. I just don't believe they should be.
Amen. I agree with you 100%, wholeheartedly. Amen. We got about 3 minutes before break. What else you got there on that subject?
Well, brother, when you look at the flattery of the tongue, when you see it, it's like a forward tongue, one that is bold and brassy. It's not modest. It's not a modest tongue. It's not. It's a tongue that is very bold and brassy, not scared to say things about people, not scared to talk after a manner that is not like. I've seen women walk up and talk to men like they are men. God didn't make you the same. Now that may make somebody that's listening to this mad. You think women or men are better than women? No, I think God set an order down, and men and women are not the same. There are conversations that a woman will have with a woman that she does not have with a man. That's Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you were made. Don't get mad about that. Embrace what God has given you and who God has made you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I've they're in all churches. I know what a godly woman looks like and sounds like. And I've also had women. I have a hard time calling some of them ladies. But I've had women come through the doors of the church, and I've had some come in who presented themselves to be one way, but when they opened their mouth, they told off on what they really were, because there was no couth, there was no tactfulness, there was no modesty of speech, there was a brashness to tell me exactly what they thought about me and thought about my preaching. And I know that we're not actually talking about the harlot there, but it's the same spirit. And I think really what we're going into is that spirit of Jezebel. That's that whole feminist, I'm going to do what I want to, do what I please spirit that goes along with this harlot, that goes along with this strange woman. You think I'm correct on that, when I'm going with that?
Yeah, you're talking about the language starts it all. Is that what I'm understanding you're saying?
Well, I'm just saying, I think this is a multifaceted thing.
It's not just a harlot. It's not just a, someone can have these characteristics, brother, and not be that person. That's why we're warning every man and teaching every man.
Right. I know some women over the years who they get a charge out of talking that way to a man, even though they would never act upon it. They simply get a thrill out of exciting a man only to frustrate a man. We call that a tease. But there are some women who, while they would never act upon it physically or sexually, they simply get a charge out of seeing a man get frustrated with their language.
That's right. There are some like that that would never follow through with that, but that's how they get themselves in a lot of trouble, too. And you and I have to say, now listen, as born-again believers, a lady has to ask herself, do I want to be that type of a person?
Amen.
Do I want to give the impression? Do I want to have a bold and brassy tongue? Do I want to act like that? Or do I want to honor God, and do I want to be a lady that honors God with my speech, with my... and with the way I conduct myself.
Amen. Well, brother, let's stop right there, and let's go ahead and take a break. And we're going to go to break, and we'll come back on the other side, and we'll get more into this, and we'll talk about how the woman's loud and stubborn. You may not like that, but that's Bible. So we're going to talk about that on the other side. But we're going to take a break right now. We're going to take one with a man named Doug Ramage. The song called I Want to Die on the Battlefield. Great song. We'll be back here in just a few minutes on the Old Paths broadcast. All right, we're back on the Old Paths broadcast. That was Doug Ramage. I Want to Die on the Battlefield. I heard Brother Lester Roloff. I think I heard Brother Lester Roloff sing that once. But anyway, I fell in love with that song and sing it every chance I get. And you know, that's the attitude a Christian ought to have. You know, I'm in this battle, and I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. You know, though the war may get hot around me, I'm going to keep on standing for God. I mean, that's the message. That's what the Lord's called us to. That's Ephesians chapter 6. We don't have time to get into that tonight, but we're to stand and withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And we're just, you know, if we die, we're going to die on the battlefield. I don't want to die because the devil took advantage. But I want to give my last breath to the Lord. Amen.
Amen, brother.
All right, brother. We're getting back into this. The strange woman. We talked about her flattering tongue, her flirtiness, her by use of that tongue, she lures in those who, you know, that are, can be swayed by that tongue. You know, I thank God. There are some godly men who they have this knowledge, and once you have this knowledge, you know, the Bible says, you know, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. It tells us that. You know, so once you understand that flattering tongue of a strange woman is a device of the devil, then you're able to defend against it. You're able to ignore it. You're able to turn away from it. But if you're not armed with that knowledge, if you're not armed with that wisdom, that spiritual discernment, my goodness, you're kind of easy prey. You know, you can. I've been told that you can fish in a pond with the same lure long enough, the fish all figure out that, hey, that's not real, and they quit biting it. And you know, when we've seen the same thing over and over again, eventually we figure it out. But we've got to have somebody teach us this stuff, and that's why I'm thankful we're doing this show tonight. But let's get into the second part tonight. We're talking about that the strange woman of Proverbs 7 we're talking about. She's loud and stubborn, brother. She's loud. And I've never met any of those kind of women. Now, have you met any of those?
I've got quite a few of them, brother.
I'm speaking facetiously, of course.
I know it. I know it. I've met quite a few of those. I've also met some good godly ladies, as you have, and I'm married to one, and I know you are too as well, and the Lord has blessed us greatly, and you have a godly mother. I've met your mother before. She's a very kind lady, very sweet lady, and has a good spirit about her as well. And but the Bible is very, very clear here. It says that this lady, this strange woman, is loud and stubborn. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now, the first part of that, she is loud and stubborn. She is talkative and self-willed, noisy and troublesome, willful and headstrong, all tongue and will have her say, right or wrong. Now, let's stop right there just for a second and look at that. It's amazing. This woman is talkative and self-willed. I mean, she's going to have her way. I've met women that are married, that are like this, that with their husbands. They will get out what they want to say, no matter if that husband looks like his face is so red that he's gonna pop a blood vessel. It does not matter. They'll get out. They'll say what they want to say. They'll do what they want to do. And it's sad because they can't control their tongue. She's loud and stubborn, and then basically the husband gets embarrassed if he takes her in public somewhere, and she's loud, and she'll tell another man off. She'll tell another man what she thinks about him. She'll nose into another man's business, another family's business. She'll use that tongue in a loud and obnoxious and stubborn way, have to be the center of attention, have to be self-willed. Now, listen, I'm not picking on anybody. We're not doing this to pick on ladies. What we're saying here is trying to warn. This is Bible. We're not making it up. I'm not preaching Joel Osteen's Best Life Now. I'm not trying to use Dr. James Dobson's psychology. I'm preaching you the Word of God. I'm teaching you the Word of God and exhorting you with it and reproving and rebuking and taking it to say, listen, we've got to understand this. Lady, don't be somebody that's self-willed, that's noisy and troublesome and headstrong all the time and has to get your word out no matter what. Sometimes, lady, it's better to obey, you know, it's always better to obey the Bible, but in many instances, the Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. You know, my wife, brother's gotten further with me. Now, she's never yelled at me. My wife is not that type of lady. She doesn't really yell. But she has gotten far with me by just a soft answer. And it causes me to pause and think, and pretty soon I'm the one asking for forgiveness because I've acted like a buffoon, and all she did was say a few words to me, in a soft way, and I was convicted over it, and God used it and used it to lead me to repentance over the issue.
If wives everywhere would figure out that one secret, this, you know, it would revolutionize marriages. I've tried, and I know we don't have time to go into the hierarchy of the home, but, you know, I've preached this, and I know you've preached it, that God has a pecking order. God has an order of authority in the home, and that's the husband. That's God the Father, actually. That's God over the whole home. And then there's the husband whose authority is that under God's. And then there's the wife who's under the husband, and then the children are under the canopy of both the father and the mother. But when the wife tries to boss her husband, when she tries to be bossy britches and have her say and have her way, she is jumping rank. She is jumping up in between God and her husband, and I know that the ones that do probably want God to change him, but they're impatient, they're unwilling to wait on God, and they get in his way, and God has to deal with them before he'll ever deal with the husband, and you know, they won't ever get what they want doing that.
That's right, brother. That's why God is so clear in the scriptures. We take this and we go the opposite of what, and we look at in 2 Timothy or in the book of Timothy where he talks about a godly woman, Titus chapter 2, where he talks about that modest woman, shamefaced with sobriety. She's not trying, this woman, this Proverbs 7 woman, this strange woman is loud and stubborn. She wants everybody to hear what she has to say. She's not meek and quiet and lowly in spirit. She's not like that, but she's very loud. And you're gonna listen to her no matter what. You're gonna hear her out no matter what. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's what gets her in trouble. This lady, what you see is she'll have it her way. She'll have it her way. She'll be heard at any cost. That man will not reprove me. That preacher will not preach that I'm wrong. I will not hear it. That husband will listen to me. I know I'm right. I'll have my way. You know, it's the characteristic of a strange woman. It doesn't mean you're a strange woman, lady. I'm not calling you a harlot. I'm not calling you a strange woman. I'm saying that why do you have the attributes? Why, if you have this attribute, you have to go back and say, Lord, help me. I've got to fight this. This is something in your word that is wrong, that is frowned upon to be loud and stubborn. I've met some ladies that are mighty stubborn ladies that they will not give in to their husbands. They will not give in to proper biblical authority. They will not give in to modesty and shamefacedness. They will not submit. They will not give their hearts to God. They'll fight and they'll buck that.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right.
This loud and stubborn is the same thing as a froward. It's perverse. It's turning from, it's with aversion or reluctance, not willing to yield or comply. I mean, they make it known they're not going to comply. No, I'm not going to be a submissive wife. I'm not going to be that person. I'm not going to be that type of a lady. And boy, that sure does cause a lot of trouble in the home. Now, believe me, I pick on men enough. You can go to my sermon audio page and see. I put more pressure on men to live for God and to lead in their homes, and that they're the reason why there's problems in their home, you know, more than I do on the ladies in that case, because it is a man that must lead. He must have the responsibility, and he must take the responsibility and do that which is right. But there are some loud and stubborn women out there, and then there's Christian feminism out there, too. So don't mm-hmm. think that there isn't. I've met a lot of Christian feminists out there that they mask it in Christianity, but they're feminists for sure. This woman is she's too easy to spout off to men. This loud and stubborn woman, more comfortable to talk to them than even to ladies. She's clamorous, noisy, and talkative. She pours out foolishness and unchaste words to allure and entice this young man. Or she's brawling or scolding. she's with her husband. When she's indoors with him, she really lays into him and balls him out and really speaks ill of him and to him and treats him with no respect and lets her know this is the way it's going to be and I'm not going to do this. And that's the tactic that she has. That's the way that she is. She's that loud and stubborn woman, that forward or perverse woman, ungovernable. Her tongue cannot be governed. She's loud and she knows it. Listen, this is what a problem today. For some reason, there are ladies that believe, Christian ladies that believe that they've got to be the center of attention, that everybody's got to know what's going on, or everybody's got to be focused on them and pay attention to them when they walk in a room. No, you know what, lady, you're not supposed to be that way. You shouldn't speak like that to where everybody can hear you or that you're the forefront of everything. And you want to lead people to your husband and to lift up your husband. That's not sexist. That's biblical. That's what the Bible says. Argue with God if you don't like it. I'm tired of this argument that says, well, that's just, oh, you think women are... No, I think women are supposed to be what God wants them to be, and I think men are supposed to be what God wants them to be. And I know there's some good godly ladies out there, but this is good correction for every lady out there.
Amen. Hey, brother, we got a caller on the line. And I believe you know him. I know him from Facebook, and he goes by the name of Baptist Evangelist Chad Bush.
Amen. I just street preached with Brother Bush a few weeks ago. How are you, brother?
I'm doing good. How about you two?
We're doing all right, brother. We're off in dangerous waters tonight.
Yeah, you two often are. I was just listening, you know, and I've been dealing with a couple of people this week on this whole issue of Christian women who just think that they can come in and take over authority over men and start teaching them doctrines, and it's just prevalent within the church, even amongst good Baptists. And when you try to show them this, they're taken aback, like you're trying to, I don't know, like you're trying to beat them or put them back into, you know, the dark ages, and they don't realize that you want them to follow the Word of God just as you would follow the Word of God. It has nothing to do with sexism or misogyny or anything like that. And so that's a real big problem, as you two have been discussing just now.
Amen, brother. You know, here's the thing that we must understand about this and must explain to ladies. Christianity, Bible faith has done more for ladies than any other thing in this world. It has done more to give respect. It has done more to give honor and glory where honor is due and glory on her head is due. It has done more than Judaism did, than Islam would do, than any of the religions out there. Bible faith has done way more to put a lady in a proper position that God has placed her in.
Sure, yeah, it has. And it's nothing to do with disrespect. I mean, I disrespect no woman. I love my wife, I respect her, and I want my children to respect her. We're told in the scriptures, you know, that Christ gave himself for the church, and he's the head of the church. So the church is supposed to submit herself to Christ. And that's out of love, not out of, necessarily out of commandment as if she were a slave, because Christ did give himself for the church. And so my wife is under my headship, under my authority, so that when we answer to God, I have to give answer for what I've taught her, for what she goes through. And she's actually under a better position than these women who are stubborn out there in the world who claim they're Christian and just are running wild and doing whatever they want to do.
Right, because the responsibility falls on the man, and God's going to deal with the man as the leader. Amen. That's right, brother.
Amen.
Amen, yeah. Brother. That's a good point. I know, you know, anytime you deal with fundamentalism is really skewed the role of the sexes. It is really kind of it's given a false impression, or it set up something that is not true, a picture that is not true. And when you start preaching, that's why you hardly ever hear fundamental Baptists preach on the headship of the home, the headship of the father, and with the daughter, with the wife and everything. You very rarely hear about that any longer. And the reason why we don't hear about it in fundamentalism is because when you start to examine those, it chips away at everything that they do. Their very practice would be changed if they really believed in the headship of the home.
Yeah, you're exactly right, because, I mean, you start to examine these things and you realize how many things are out of order, because people have gone from that position where our Baptist forebears, we understood everything was done through the authority of the local church. I mean, you didn't have street preachers, and I know this is being discussed right now, but just running around out on their own saying, okay, this is my ministry, period. No, I, as an evangelist, I'm under the authority of the local church. I submit to my pastor. And that sets a example for my wife. It sets an example for other Christians in the local body. But we have these churches out there who their fundamental Baptist schools and colleges are running the churches. And then, I mean, you look at Liberty, that's what happened to them. Their school took over the church and they went down the wrong road. So this idea that the stubborn woman is not something that needs to be dealt with is just ignorance, because like I've told these women I've dealt with, when you look at 1 Timothy 2, a lot of times they want to argue, well, this idea that a woman is supposed to keep silence is in the assembly. Well, nowhere in that context is the assembly. It's just the woman is supposed to keep silence.
Amen. And the fact that Paul said he suffered not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be. But see, it goes back to that subject of modesty. It goes back to the understanding of what is modesty? What is shamefacedness? What are those things? When you start to go back to those things, then you start to understand that modesty is not just clothing. It's more than that. The opposite of loud and stubborn is to be modest. It's to be shamefaced. It's to not stand out. It's to not be loud. And, you know, when somebody says you're wearing, boy, that outfit is very loud, you know, it means that, boy, it can really be seen. It's very noisy. It makes an impression right away.
You know, back before I knew about the whole 501c3 issue, before I understood about the whole incorporation thing, you know, I used to be in a missionary Baptist church, and of course they had business meetings. We've never had a business meeting because we're not a business, but they had business meetings, and you know, there was one older lady, and she's in heaven now, and I assume she is. I don't know for sure, but there was a lady by the name of Ruth. I won't give her last name in case anybody from back up there is listening. But she used to stand up, or not stand up, but she used to voice her opinion in the business meeting on everything that was discussed. Well, I just think we ought to do this. Of course, that's the Arkansas in me coming out. But that's preacher, I just think we ought to do this. And she'd always have an opposing viewpoint on everything. She had to be heard and had to get her viewpoint out. And I just felt so sorry for her old husband, because I knew he heard that at home. And that's kind of what you're talking about. I mean, she refuses the authority that was put over her by her husband, and that's why she's out of the house and out in the street looking for trouble, because she doesn't want to be submissive.
Sure, and it's something that's passed on. I mean, I have family members who I've seen this is passed on. And Brother Coley will know who I'm talking about. I used to ride the bus when I worked at bus ministry at the church we used to attend together. There was a woman on the bus, and she had two twin daughters, and I won't necessarily give her name, but this woman was very loud, boisterous, always had an opinion about everything, and wanted everybody to know. Well, as her children got older, they acted the same way. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, as they got college age, they got away from church. But they were not pleasant women to be around. And, you know, people often wonder, how come people do not want to be around these women? How come no one wants these girls to be, you know, wife material? And that's because they are loud. They're out there continuing. The Bible says, you know, exactly, how the woman with speech continually dropping. I know you can quote it, but and that's what it is. It just drains away at a man's soul, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible talks about when you get up early in the morning, you don't want to hear a loud voice. And if you have
right.
a wife who's like that all the time, you're not going to want to see that woman all the time. It's going to just eat away at you spiritually.
It's going to make you want to go out in the woods or go up on top of the house. That's kind of what
hey,
the Bible says.
I might have to go out in the woods and find me some deer to hang out with for a while.
Well, that's, you know, that's Bible, amen. That's exactly,
amen.
You know, it's better to dwell in the wilderness or on the corner of the rooftop than with a contentious and an angry woman. Amen.
That's right. Amen. And, I'll let you two continue on. I'm going to go and spend some time with my own.
Well, amen. I think we lost him right there anyway. But, hey, good to have you with us, Chad, and we look forward to having you on again. Amen. Brother Cooley,
amen.
You still there? Okay.
I'm here, brother.
Chad. All right.
Brother Chad fell off, but that was a blessing and good insight there and good testimony as to this loud and stubborn, self-willed woman. You know, one warning I have is, lady, keep your tongue. Put a guard on your mouth. Be careful what you say. These are characteristics of a strange woman when you speak like that, when you speak so forward like that. James 3:5 says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire, on fire of hell.
Amen. You know, while Chad was speaking and you and Chad were speaking, our producer Lonnie and I were Facebook messaging back and forth, and we came to the conclusion a lot of this, you know, we were talking about women just wanting attention, and that's why they're so forward like this. You know, we were just discussing Facebook kind of exacerbates the problem. We see a lot of women getting used to that. You know, look at me behavior on Facebook, social media, and, you know, if it's a part of your personality, it's going to come through. It's going to come through in every area of your life. And it's another, you know, Facebook's a great tool, but it's a tool. It, you know, but yet some feel the need to express themselves so much. And I know I'm going to get in trouble with a lot of women out there by saying this. But that's okay. I've been in trouble with women before, so it's not my first rodeo. But, you know, if you practice forwardness, you always speak in your mind, always saying what you think with your fingers typing it out, you're going to end up doing that in your personal life too. It's just a thought.
Amen. No, you're right, brother. That's exactly what will end up happening, and that's why – even with social media and things like that, my wife is very cautious on who she, you know, on what she says. And, I mean, she'll talk to ladies, you know, more obviously and everything like that. But she's very, very cautious and very limited on even how bold she is. And matter of fact, brother, I'll be honest with you. I tell a lot of Christians that are growing in grace and they're learning things and they're growing, be careful what you say to others because they're not going to receive what you've been learning. A lot of times they're in dead churches that are just so formalistic that when you start opening your mouth and sharing everything that you know, you're going to blow them right out of the water.
Oh, you're right about that, brother. Absolutely. We see that every day, don't we?
Yes.
Every single day. Amen. Well, brother, we've run up on another break. So let's go ahead and let's give the call-in number out, give people a chance to call in during the break. And maybe we can get another caller on the other side. This is a topic that affects everybody because if we were going to talk about another subject, it might not be something that affected everybody. But you know, we talked about divorce last week. But divorce, while it does affect people in a roundabout way, it, you know, not everybody's going to go through a divorce, but everybody knows a woman. And so this will affect every single person. You're either a woman or you got them in your family or you're going to be married to one. I mean, it affects everybody. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there that may want to call in and touch on this subject. So let me give the number 646-915-9266. One more time, write it down, 646-915-9266. And as we go to break, we're going to take a break with a group called Daily and Vincent and a song called By the Mark. One of the greatest gospel songs, in my opinion, in the last couple of years that have come out, and it's powerful. Give it a listen. Daily and Vincent on the Old Paths broadcast. We'll be back in a minute. Great voices. I would love to be able to sing like that. Of course, brother, I don't know if I could sing that high. You'd have to stomp my little toe or something. I mean, get up that high. But I don't know how to do it.
Hey, brother, I can't sing at all, brother, so don't feel bad.
Well, you know, like I tell everybody, God made your voice. He tuned it just like he likes it. So it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Just let her rip. That's what I tell people at church. Let her rip. God likes it. He wouldn't have made it that way. But anyway, let's get back into this thing. Brother, one more time with the call-in number, 646-915-9266. We encourage you to call in. We encourage you to let us know what you think on this subject. You know, even if you want to call in and, you know, maybe there's a woman out there who just wants to call in and she just wants to let us know she agrees with where we're going with this thing, or maybe there's one out there who wants to call in and get mad and get hung up on. But either way, I'm kidding about that. We do want some call-ins tonight, and if you'd like to call in and take part in the program tonight, we would love to have you on and give us a call, 646-915-9266. Brother Jason, take us in the next direction on this thing.
Well, brother, yeah, if somebody wants to call in, if a lady wants to call in and argue, she can definitely talk to you, brother. I know you have a lot of experience in arguing with ladies, so I think.
you know, to our listeners out there, when we were discussing this show and prepping for this show, you know, he did tell me we were going to talk about loud and stubborn women, and I asked him if he had one lined up to call in. You know.
You know, if I ever mentioned somebody's name, I would be labeled right away, so I could never say that. Now some lady's going to call in that knows me, and everybody's going to think that that's a loud, stubborn woman. So, anyway, we're just having a little bit of fun. But as we look at this and continue on with this strange woman and her characteristics, the next characteristic is that her feet abide not in her house. Her feet abide not in her house. It says she is loud and stubborn. Go ahead, brother.
I said that's what verse 11 says, what you were just reading.
Amen.
She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house.
Yes, that's, you know, we come to the first part of that verse and we've tackled it. Now the second part is her feet abide not in her house. Now let me just say, before we get started with this, this is not Pastor Cooley. I've preached on feminism. I've got a 10-part series. It's on sermon audio, or nine, or I don't know how many it is. Anyway, some 8 or 9-part series on feminism. This is not my opinion. I'm not making this up. I'm reading it straight from the King James Bible. And what the Lord says is that her feet abide not in her house. And this is a lady that has children that is married and does not want to abide in her home. She does not want to stay there. She is not happy to dwell there. And what is the predominant message today that is given? The predominant message today is given, oh, you can do so much better than just being a housewife. You can do so much better than being the mother of your children. You could do more. There's always something else that you can do. You know, you can be a career woman and still take care of a husband and children, and you can do that. Well, listen, folks, this is what the Bible says, and this is not my opinion. It's saying that this lady cannot stay at home and concentrate on being the best wife or the best mother she can be. She's got to be going all the time. She can't abide in her own home. She can't guide the home. It's not enough for her. It's the old trick of the devil. Yea, hath God said? Come on, Eve, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. You won't be a submissive wife any longer, but you'll be a god, Eve.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, I remember growing up, and I know I'm older than you, brother, and I can't remember what the product was that they were selling, but I remember the jingle on TV, you know, where the woman said, you know, I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in the pan, and all that. You know, because I'm a woman, and it was this idea that, you know, back then it was, I am woman, hear me roar. You know, I'm gonna get out there and show this man that I can be just as much as he is. I can show him. And, of course, you know, we've done the satanic deception of Hollywood. We've done the satanic deception of television, basically. We didn't call it that, but I mean, we've done the Satanic Deception series, and this is just another facet of it, that feminism, and we didn't really cover that one, like I said, but you've done it on Sermon Audio, but it is a satanic deception for a woman to have this idea in her mind that she has something to prove, because she, I'm mindful of something, Chad, when he was on here a while ago, he talked about women, wanting to be in the ministry. And I'm mindful of something that I heard or I read. I want to say it was Charles Spurgeon. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But a woman approached him on the way out of a service, and she said, "I believe that I am called into the ministry." And to that, he said to her, he said, "Do you have a husband?" And she said, "Oh, yes." He said, "And children?" And she said, "Yes, I have five." He said, "Well, isn't that wonderful? God has already given you a wonderful ministry." And that is the woman's ministry. That is what God, and she doesn't want that. This woman here doesn't want that ministry, that God-given ministry. She wants to have one that compares to a man.
Exactly. That's Satan's old plan to destroy the order of the sexes, to make them all one. And Proverbs 7:12 says that now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. In Titus chapter 2, we see in the New Testament, it says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, mm-hmm. obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." You know, there's only a few parts, scriptures that really talk about the word of God or blaspheming God. David caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme against God when he sinned with Bathsheba. And here we see in this text, it says here that a woman that is a keeper at home, a woman that is not a keeper at home will bring blasphemy, will cause the word of God to be blasphemed. Why? Because God set an order down. He mm-hmm. set an order down. Listen, God's plan works. That a man works and he takes care of the family and he leads and he's a leader, and mom takes care of the home and mom guides the home and mom raises the children, and dad helps obviously and is overseeing all of that and is a part of all that. But mom is that keeper at home, loving her children, loving her husband, keeping her affections on those things and not on seeking something outside of the home, seeking some kind of enterprise or some kind of thing outside of the home. But I will tell you this, that fundamentalists do not preach on this today. Why?
No,
because
they
I cannot have a big college, Brother Brandon, if I don't have the ladies there. I cannot have church staff. Keepers at home only count if it's outside of the church.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't have a big church staff with a bunch of ladies on it. I can't have a Christian school with a bunch of ladies teaching if I preach keepers at home. So I've went to fundamental Baptist churches my whole life, and I've never heard preaching on it, besides at our church. But I've never heard preaching from fundamental Baptists on being keepers at home, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Why? Because I can't talk about that when I don't want to keep them at home, when I as a pastor want a double income, want a double tithe, a double offering, and more money to come in.
Ooh, you touched the sacred cow, bro. You have touched
sure
the sacred
did.
Cow.
You know, brother, I like touching it, but I like even better tipping them right over. I do like tipping them fat cows right over.
You're a sacred cow tipper.
I'm a sacred cow tipper, brother. I enjoy tipping those cows over because they have no biblical basis at all for what they do. They keep women out there working, and our homes are suffering. Our churches are rotting. The spiritual temperature of the home is rotting. Why? Because mom is not there. The most intricate, I just preached a message on this, on how to raise a sociopath, And what I said in that message, I did statistics. I even used science of course, with Bible, but I use science first. And scientists say that when a mother is not home with that child, that is the most intricate time of their lives. And mm-hmm. what that mother does and the love that mother shows that child impacts that child's whole life.
Mm, that's right. Amen. I mean, I know it's true. I know it's
so
true.
Why, brother, do you think that Satan wants the woman out of the home? Why does he want mom out of the home so bad? Why does the United States government want mom out of the home so bad? Why do we have daycare centers in churches now? Why? Why does mom have to be out of the home? Why can't mom take care of the children? Why can't mom be there and raise the children for God?
Because Satan wants to destroy the next generation, and that's how he gets them. He breaks down that structure. He breaks down that God-given nurturing structure, and causes dysfunction. It causes hurts that won't heal. It causes children to miss that time that they'll never get back. It'll always be a missing piece in their life, and it breaks up the cohesion of that family. One thing about it, you know. And I'm a full-time pastor, and I know you still do a little work on the side, but for the most part, you're a full-time pastor. And
right.
having the availability to be with your wife, to be with your children as much as you and I do, it's such a blessing. And there's such a closeness in my family. I get to spend more time with my children than probably any man that I know, and I wouldn't trade anything for that. And, my wife is there, and she's there with the children all the time. During the school year, she teaches our children in our homeschool group. We're always together. And, I mean, sure, we get it on each other's nerves, because we're human every now and then. And, but for the most part, you couldn't find a closer group of people. And when you don't have that structure, It just there's that old saying, idle hands do the devil's business. And I believe idle hearts and idle minds do the very same thing. And when you separate a family like that and you put a woman out of her element in another environment where she's going to be working around strange men, men who are not her husband, there's going to be more opportunities to sin. More opportunities for that flirtatiousness to occur. It's just you're setting yourself up for failure.
Amen. That's right, brother. And there's a lot of arguments that come. A lot of arguments that come with this subject. I've heard them all, brother. I've just heard them all. In this day and age, you got to have both incomes, and you got to do this, you got to do that. Somebody asked me, "Well, what would you do? What would you do if you had to?" I said, "Brother, I'd work two or three jobs if I had to keep my wife at home with my children, because I would sacrifice some things and not have some things, and I haven't had to sacrifice that much because God has really blessed me and taken care of me and used people to take care of me and bless me with folks like that, but." That see the same need. And I've got a man, Brother Russ, he's been on the show before. He's called in.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Russ's testimony is just fascinating. And I wish he had time today. He's probably working. But his testimony concerning this issue is just fascinating as far as his wife being a keeper at home. Because they went through so much financially and got some things right with God and paid off an extreme amount of debt and kept his wife home, and his wife stayed home and took care of the children with a joyful spirit, and the children all worked together, the family all worked together, and they were out of debt, and within a few years' time they were completely out of debt, and the Lord had just greatly blessed them, and the testimony that they have went all over the country, really all over the world. They've been on the Today Show. They've been on a few other shows, and the Christian Money Matters type programs and explaining this. And hey, listen, Brother Russ worked like 18 hours a day to keep his wife at home. I mean, and I don't mean, when I say keep her at home, I mean that so she could be a keeper at home.
Right.
So she could be there, you know. She didn't want to go out and do all that. She wanted to take care of her children and her home and help, you know, be a helpmate to her husband, and she did just that. And I'm so grateful for their testimony. Because anytime I hear somebody say, well, it can't be done. No, it can be done. We just have to believe God. God said keepers at home that the word of God be not blasphemed. God said that he would take care of us. O ye of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? Do you and I trust and believe God? He says that the strange woman, her feet abide not in the home. She can't stay home. She's got to be roaming all the time.
Right. And, you know, something just crossed my mind. You know, this whole idea of feminism, the whole idea of, you know, the woman working, being out of the home. And, I mean, it's nothing new. I mean, it was going on back in Solomon's day because, I mean, he's watching it. He's seeing this woman who doesn't want to be at home. She doesn't want to be there taking care of her family, taking care of her home. She wants to be out running around doing her own thing and thus getting herself into a horrible situation. You know, again, this is as old as time itself. But what we're seeing, I mean, today, this whole idea is, you know, of a woman taking on a man's role and, you know, it's androgyny. It's leading toward androgyny. It's leading to, you know, the equaling of the sexes. It's the New World Order. And the New World Order simply, you know, this brave new world they talk about all the time. I mean, it's, all it is saying, you know, we didn't like God's way of doing things. We want a new way. We want to come up with man's way of doing things. And again, it's nothing new. This New World Order is nothing new. It's the same old battle we've been fighting all along.
Amen. It's the same mystery of iniquity that doth already work. That's the spiritual aspects of or nature of it behind the scenes. These people are all just puppets for the devil, and I mean that by the hierarchy and the government. I'm not talking about people. Let me clarify something too as well. There's some people out there that their husbands have put the wives in positions of having to take care of things, having to work, and having to, take care of things financially. Like that. Now, listen, lady, I'm not saying you're a strange woman, and I'm not saying that you're not doing what you have to do to survive and everything else like that. So I just want to clarify that. I'm not backtracking anything I said, but I want to clarify what I mean by that, because there are some ladies out there that are just working hard to try to make it because their husbands have not done what they're supposed to do.
Sure.
So just remember that. I want to be very clear with that, and I'm not trying to. And listen, the other thing is I'm not trying to condemn people. What we're trying to do is we're trying to educate the next generation. We're trying to say, hey, listen, we've done it wrong, but we don't have to continue to do it wrong. We can do it right in the next generation.
Amen. Yeah, you're right. There are women whose husbands are too sorry to take the reins and be the leader. There are those who've walked out on them. There are those who maybe have a husband who's been injured and cannot do anything to take care of his family. And because of that, they're put in a position where they have to do it. And, you know, I applaud those women for stepping up and doing what they have to. So absolutely. Yeah, we're not calling anybody evil for having to do something that you're forced to do. And in that situation, there ought to be a church that has a little bit of charity and a little bit of mercy too. But, But at the same time, we're talking to those who, out of spite for God's word, do the opposite of what it says because they don't like it.
Amen. It's that stubborn and rebellious, loud and stubborn and rebellious spirit, and that feet abide not in their home. They won't stand up for what's right. They won't do what they're supposed to. They won't do what they're supposed to. They won't follow the word of God. And what the Bible says very clearly is that the word of God is blasphemed when that is not done right.
Absolutely. Their nose is thumbed at God's word. They don't care what God's word says. And absolutely, and the churches today that are full of working women, they think nothing of it. They flit around in their churches talking about their jobs and
And they're proud of it. And they don't realize that's what the scripture says very plainly. And it is. It's a mockery of God's holy word. And it just, again, it's confusion. And, you know, and I'm sitting here looking at some scriptures. And, you know, again, like you say, it's the opposite of the Proverbs 31 woman. It's not that she's trying to do things to help and take care of her household. She wants to further her own self, her own career. She wants to climb that corporate ladder. She wants to show that she can do everything just as good as that man. And, you know, 1 Timothy 5:13 says, "And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also in busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." And, you know, when you put a woman in a work environment, and especially one with other women, you're going to find out that that there's going to be so much gossiping that goes on, so much catfighting that goes on, so much, you know, and that's going to consume their life. And just cause more and more and more divisions when they get home. They come home stressed. They come home bent out of shape. You know, it leads to, well, I've got to have a glass of wine when I get home just to calm down and relax. And I mean, it leads to more wickedness and more wickedness and more wickedness.
Amen. That's why the apostle says, "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children." Boy, that'll destroy the whole birth control argument. Never mind.
Amen.
I won't go down that road tonight. I won't go down that road tonight. But it's funny though that the young women marry, bear children, guide the house, giving on occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully.
Hmm. Amen.
That's a mouthful right there, brother.
Praise God. And you know, you can't guide the children if they're in the daycare center. You can't. I wonder how many women spend time teaching their children what the Bible says. Even godly women. I wonder how many take time and teach their children what the Bible says, instill Bible principles in their children. You know, while their husband is at work. I mean, or are they too busy? You know, sitting at a computer, messing with Facebook.
Amen.
I'm not trying to get on everybody's toes out there, but I'm simply saying, you know, that's right there part of the description that the Bible, that the Apostle Paul, speaking under inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God, gives, you know, so that the devil doesn't have an occasion to point his finger at you and say, I thought you said you was a Christian, now look at yourself. And he will. He's the accuser of the brethren.
Right, and then, brother, look at it this way, too, as well. Go on to the next generation now. If I'm going to train my daughter, if my wife's going to be a keeper at home, then I'm going to train my daughters to be keepers at home as well, and my wife's going to train my daughter to be a keeper at home. Why? Training her to be a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so the man that marries her must expect, I'm not marrying my daughter off to somebody that's not going to let her be, not going to allow her to fulfill her godly role as being a keeper at home. My wife or my daughter is not gonna take care of some man. She's not gonna work. I mean, to take care of him financially. She'll take care of the home and take care of him, but she's not gonna work and be the man and take care of him. That's not gonna happen.
Amen. Well, brother, we run up on another break. We have run up on another break, and we got about 30 minutes left in the program, so we're gonna take one more break here, and let's get the call in number one more time before we go. Again, 646-915-9266. Again, 646-915-9266. And we're going to take one last break, play one last song. And I know this is a little unorthodox, but that's okay. I like it. And this was out there for all of those who think you can thumb your nose at the Word of God and get away with it. This one's called "God's Gonna Cut You Down." We'll be right back on the Old Paths Broadcast.
time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news, my head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels too. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Amen, preacher. That's right. You know, unfortunately for the sinner out there, that's two-thirds of the preacher's ministry, amen, to rebuke and reprove with all long-suffering and doctrine, amen. And I know there's people out there don't like what we're doing tonight, but amen, you know, that's just part of the ministry. You know, it's not all puppy dogs and rainbows, unfortunately. And, you know, I mean, we're not Joel Osteen's. We're not copycats. And I'm thankful that God brought you and I together, because we are birds of a feather, and I know they do flock together. And of course, since I've met you, I've been exposed to a lot of other preachers out there that I didn't know about. And you know, it's easy to get that Elijah complex and feel like, you know, you're the only one left who stands for God. And you know, and I'll be honest with you, I'm down here in this region, and there is a drought of preachers. And I know there's some good men out there, but they don't stand like that. You know, and I've many times felt like, you know, the Lone Ranger over here, that there aren't many who want to stand up for the Lord. There aren't many who are willing to bear the brunt, bear the shame, bear, you know, the wrath of folks who don't like it. They'd rather take the easy, smoother route and preach stuff that's easy to hear. There are a few. There are a couple around here, and I do thank God for them. But you know, you've got to lay the hammer down, brother. You got to be willing to shatter that ego that people build for themselves by giving them truth. I remember I used to, first church I ever preached at, there was an old lady, and her name was Mary Jo Wells, and as a matter of fact, I think she's still alive, maybe. She was old then, but every Sunday we'd leave there, she'd tell me, she'd say, "Preacher, you didn't stomp my toes today, you climbed my shins." And, you know, I appreciate that. And, she liked it though. That's why she was telling me she liked it. She liked preaching it got to her. And, you know, I just figured no, ain't no way to do it but just to do it. And I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on what the Bible will do if you preach it. And,
amen.
We don't have to defend the Bible. I heard a preacher say a long time ago, you don't have to defend the Bible. You just preach it. Man don't need to get out in front, around in front of a lion's cage and defend the lion. He opened the door, the lion will defend himself. And the Bible will certainly defend itself.
Amen.
Amen. We got Brother Russ on the line if you want to get to him.
I'm glad he called in. I wanted to, Brother Brandon, I wanted to touch base with him a little bit if it was possible for him to call in. And we were talking in the last segment, and even if we don't get to the next one, we'll pick this subject up next week. But talking about keepers at home a little bit, and we have a ministry on our website called Keepers at Home. But let's bring Brother Russ on and hear from him tonight. That'd be a blessing.
All right, Brother Lonnie, kick him over here. Well, I don't know what happened, Brother Lonnie, but I can pull him over myself. Hello. I'll just get... All right, Brother Lonnie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, can you hear me, brother? Yes, sir, loud and clear.
Well, I don't know. Pastor Cooley sent me a text, told me to call in, so if you got any questions for me, go ahead, shoot. I'm kind of familiar with this subject, so.
Yeah, brother, talk a little bit. We were just talking about... you know, fundamentalism doesn't really teach keepers at home any longer. And, you know, we hear a lot of excuses about that. We're talking about the strange woman tonight, a little bit, and her feet abideth not in her home. But the opposite of that is the woman that abides in her home and cares for the home, that the word of God be not blasphemed. She's a keeper at home. Can you just share a little bit of your experience? I know, even if it takes the rest of the time, we don't really, it'll be a blessing for it to come out, but just your experience with keepers at home, being a keeper at home with your debt that you were in and everything else that took place.
Well, many years ago, I brought my wife home from work, and I'll just kind of make the story short there. On that point, brought her home. We felt that was the right thing to do. Wanted to have a family, and shortly thereafter, God blessed us with a pair of twin girls after she had like two or three miscarriages, and we believe that stress was one of that problems that why her job was why she couldn't keep her pregnancies, and once she left that job, she got pregnant, and we had two beautiful twin girls. But I, over a long period of time, some health challenges and stuff, and some, you know, bad financial decisions and things, we were deeply in debt, okay, and we had over $110,000 of unsecured debt. Now, I had to repent to God because of that, but many people told us because of that huge amount of debt that we should declare bankruptcy, even from Christians, we should declare bankruptcy, we should put my wife to work. My wife even asked that, you know, maybe I should go back to work. And I looked at it and I said, I made a promise to you that if you wanted to be home and raise our children and do what the Bible says, that I would do whatever it took to keep you home. And even though we're over $110,000 in unsecured debt, and and our credit card bills and bills were way more than even I was taking in at that time. I said, I don't want you to go back to work. And she said, I don't want to go back to work. We want to follow what the Bible says. And so at that point, I had to make a decision to find another job. And we talked to a nonprofit organization, had our finances refinanced. We didn't get anything forgiven. We paid back every penny we owed with interest. But we went into this program, and I picked up another job, and I was a chemist working about 60 plus hours a week, head of a group of people in a company. And so, I already worked a lot. Then I picked up a part-time job cleaning stores in the middle of the night. So I would do that about five nights a week, sometimes six nights. And, pretty much slept, about six nights, about three, 4 hours a night for about 4.5 years. And, we stepped out in faith, and we told God that I repented of my sins, and I do believe in repentance, even for the Christian. And
man,
we repented, and I said that I just told the Lord, I said, we are going to try to do what's right, and I'm going to keep my wife home to raise my children the way I believe the Bible says in Titus 2, and throughout all the Scripture, and we're going to trust you, Lord. And so for 4.5 years, we scrimped and saved, and told very few people of our financial situation. They knew that we had these issues when we didn't come home. We didn't go a lot of places because we had no money. Sometimes we only had like $6 for the whole week to live off of. And it was funny, during that time, somebody gave us a very nice van. People would show up with food. People would give us. Money would come in over that time. We even started giving more money to the Lord, and we felt like God wanted us to do that, even though we didn't have any money. I know that sounds crazy. But we trusted the Lord, and over 4.5 years, we paid back all that debt. And
wow.
I kept my wife home. Now, I hear people tell me, you know, they can't afford it. Well, I had $110,000. When it got done, I paid off like over $130,000 in 4.5 years. And I kept my wife home, raising our children. We kept our stand for Christ. We never stopped tithing, and people can get into whether you should tithe or not. We just believe to give back to the Lord because He's given so much to us. And we gave 10% plus more to the Lord. We never stopped any of that, never declared bankruptcy. After 4.5 years, we ended up buying a beautiful home. We had our credit rating was way in the 700s. And during that time, God done tremendous miracles. And we have raised our daughters to be keepers at home. And it's funny because they graduated this year, and people tell us, ask them, well, are you going to college? They go, we're not going to college. We're waiting for God to bring the right man for us to marry so that we can raise a godly seed for Christ. And now the world thinks that crazy, and most Baptists think that's crazy, but that's what the Word of God teaches, okay? And we're just living proof that we stood out. Did I know that we're going to make it or not go bankrupt? No, I stepped out in faith, and I did what it took. And it's kind of funny because we had CNN came out to our house a couple times. We were flown to New York by the Today Show to be on their show. We won a national award for finance for the nonprofit organizations. We were flown to Washington, D.C. for this. We spoke to a Christian financial group where they had people from countries all over the world. I could tell you all the things that I never could imagine that would happen to us, but because we stepped out in faith and we believed God, and I said, I told the Lord, I said, I don't care whether we fail or not, not the question. The question is, do we believe in you? Do we trust your word? Am I willing to do what it takes to take care of my family? And I didn't tell anybody about this. No, very few people knew. Even my own parents did not know where we were at in debt. They just knew that we had some financial challenges. And I was very prideful. My pride was hurt that I got my family into this situation. I was planning on telling nobody. Once we got all the debt, I was going to let nobody know about it. But God had other plans because this was the Lord who did this for us. I remember many nights praying to God, saying, Lord, I said, I want my children to grow up to believe in you. And you don't have to prove yourself, Lord, because He doesn't have to prove Himself. But I said, you know, one of the things is our children in our Baptist homes never see God do anything in your homes. Never see any miracles in their homes. And my children have seen so many miracles. And to this day, I look at them and say, could you deny that there's a holy God in heaven? And they go, no, Dad, we cannot. Because we know that what we went through was only by the hand of the living God. And I'll tell you, brother, I deserved bankruptcy. I deserved to be shamed. I was wrong. But I'll tell you what, we had a holy God in heaven, and we stepped out in faith, and we just trust God. And I think one of the problems is that people just don't want to trust His word. They don't want to trust Him. They don't want to step out. And you think it's easy. It's not easy. You think, I didn't have doubts for 4.5 years, working night and day, no sleep, wondering if I could put food on my family's table, and I had to look and get on my hands and knees before God and say, God, I need your help. And then during that time, during about 2 years, then He brought us a son. And what a blessing He's been. And people said, how could you do that? Well, because I trusted in God. Okay. Mm-hmm. In the world's eyes, it made no sense, but in God's eyes, it did. And so that's kind of a brief thing of my story. I'm sorry, I'm choking up a little bit. It's just,
amen, brother.
God is so good, brother. And I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't change what we went through for anything, because my girls, you know, are saved. They love the Lord. They've shown true repentance. They know what God has done. They see God walk. I think we are so self-sufficient in America that we never, ever see God work in our lives, because we don't need Him. because we have everything. We got the credit card. We can go get this. We can do that. We can put our wife to work. But I'll tell you something. We decided many years ago to follow the Lord and raise our family as keepers of home, to follow that Bible no matter what people. And they think, and our family thinks, Christian family, they all think we're crazy. But they can't deny. I remember my my wife's Catholic mother-in-law saying to her, one thing about your family is that you walk what you believe. And I tell you what, that's a compliment. And you know what? We need to walk what we believe. And if we believe in this book, then we need to walk it and trust in God. And there's not many people that were in the situation I had. And I give all glory and honor to God, okay? Because many of those nights I worked, I didn't even know if I was going to make it. I mean, but the Lord brought me through. And it's all His glory. And He wants to give, He wants to bless His people. He wants to help us through these things, but we don't ever go to Him. We never say, God, I just believe in Thy word. You know, I'm going to quote a verse here, Psalm 37:5, because it's one of our verses that we really relied on. It says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. And we just said, God said He'll get us through. And I had to pay a price, okay? You reap what you sow. And I had that sow for 4.5 years, basically working night and day. And that was pretty much my life. I didn't have much else to do. I went to church on Sunday. And the only time I had free time, I either slept or I spent the time with my family. And didn't go on vacations, didn't do anything but work, basically, for 4.5 years. But I'll tell you what, God did not forsake us. And we never had to beg for bread. Well, people gave us bread, but we never had to beg for it. He just brought it in miraculously. And I could go after miracle, a miracle that God did. But, as you guys were talking about keepers at home, I'm telling you, I think one of the problems with our Christianity today in this country is we just don't really believe the book. We just don't really want to follow God. Only debt we have is our house, and that's all we've had for many years. And we give up things. I mean, hey, we had our air conditioning blowout last year, and $3,000 to fix it, and we just went and bought a couple of Windows units, paid cash. And we waited a year. I said, God, if you bring the money in, we'll pay for it. And He didn't. So I bought one with cash, because we're not going to go until we're going to trust the Lord, because I think God wants to walk in faithfulness. We needed some things, and all of a sudden, I could tell you, even after we've been out of debt, how God just brings things into our lives that we pray for. And it's just, because we try to help people, and just the blessings we get back. And it's because we trust in the Lord and we want to follow His principles, and we've tried to do that. And sometimes you're just not going to have everything you want. But I'm going to tell you something. When you have the Lord, you got it all.
Amen.
So, you got any questions? Go shoot. But it's kind of my testimony. And it's real. That's out there. You can Google my name, because we've been all over. I mean, we've been in tons of magazines. This is not something I'm just, shooting at you right here. This really happened. And
Brother Russ.
So, yeah.
Brother Russ, talk about what the Lord led you to do at Old Paths here with Keepers at Home on the web and everything that you guys are doing with that. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, one of our burdens is that for Christian families, it's just to get back to raising families for Jesus Christ, okay, and raising their children in the proper order. And it was interesting because and I'm not here to run down any kind of program church have, but we believe our family worships together in all things. And we've been to church. They've had Sunday school, and I'm not here to run people's Sunday school down. I'm just saying is we just believe that God wants us to worship together. And when we, in church, we were attacked for that because, we want to keep our family together. And not that we were making a stink about any programs, because we weren't. We were just wanted to keep our family together and worship together, and we were told that was wrong. Well, other people can raise your children too, and it's like, well, it's not a question whether other people can raise our children. It's the question is, who did God give them to? And He gave them to us to raise, okay? And so we believe in that position, and so we started to keep it a home program, and we're teaching this. I taught a 5-week series on getting to the marriage altar God's way, and we've been trying to teach a lot of these principles and to raise your own families and to take care of them because God gave them to you. And like I said, here I'm not here attacking what anybody does in the church. What I'm just saying is that God gave children to us, and He put the man as the head and the responsibility. I literally worked so hard, and literally many times almost drove off the road. It's a miracle that I'm here because I sometimes would hardly sleep for days. I mean, literally for days. And because I was going to do whatever it took to take care of my family, because I believe God gave that. He gave me that authority. He put me in charge, and it was my responsibility as the head of the home. Mm. It's funny because people think that, well, your wife. See, my wife is a true Proverbs 31 woman, okay? She's under my headship. Okay, but she goes out into the community. She volunteers at the nursing home. She makes meals to the elderly. She helps take care of a lady living there, all the lady next door. She helps her all the time. I mean, she's out there. She takes care of a lot of stuff for the family because, you know, I still work a lot and have to drive some distance. And she's out there doing for our household, raising our children for His glory. And yet, she's been on radio shows all over the country. She's been, like I said, we've been at the Today Show. We were on Fox and Friends. Like CNN did 2 shows that came out to our house. I mean, my wife has got more exposure than the average woman who ever works a job out there, and spoken to thousands of people. But all under God, all under God's authority, all under the headship of the husband, and we're known in our community, and she's known for her kind charity and the work and the love and care that she gives, and it all brings glory to our house, but it ultimately brings glory to God, and she works for that thing, and that's a true Proverbs 31, not one going out submitting to some other man. No, it's under the mission Amen. Of the household that God put, And I know that sounds strange to a lot of people, but I'll tell you something. When you live God's way, God will bless. And you could talk to my. I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something. You talk to my wife. I'll take her up against most funny pastors, and she'll blow them all the water on what she knows about the Bible. Okay, and that's the truth, brother. I'm not kidding you. It keeps me on my toes. She's not just somebody who sits there, you know, and. No, she is a true Proverbs 31 woman, and I thank God for her, because I don't think I would have made it without her. And obviously, the Lord would make us all the Lord. But, we did it as a team. It wasn't just Russ Hilbert working hard. No, she did. She had to do a lot of stuff at home that I couldn't do because I was busy working. But we worked as a team and as a family. And, our family, we can hardly get our kids to even leave the house, okay? I mean, they just want to be home. They love being home. Why? Because we've set godly examples. They've seen the working of God, and they want to live God's way. They've been raised to live God's way. They want to live God's way, and they're not tempted like I don't have a desire to go off to college outside my headship. They just want to do what the Bible says. Because why? Because they've seen God work. God's real to them. And it's not just talking. It's not Sunday morning, okay? And I'm not perfect. I mean, I'm far from it. We've tried to live and follow God's standards, and yes, we've fallen, but we've gotten up and repented. And they've seen God work, and they just want to live by His word. And you can have that, but I tell you what, you need to live it, okay? It's not Sunday Christian. It's not putting your children off to somebody else's responsibility. No, it's you taking responsibility. It's you teaching them. You training them. Being what God called you to be, okay? And trusting the Lord. And that is something that's so missing today in our churches.
Yes.
In our Christianity in America. And how are you ever going to see the power of God unless you pray for and ask Him and rely on Him? You know, and instead of relying, on your credit card, instead of saying, "Well, I want something nicer," so you put your wife to work and go against God's commandments. Well, yeah, you'll get something nicer, but you'll get wrecked families like we see all over our churches. Children leaving when they're going home because Christianity's never been real to them. Jesus is not real. And the flesh and the world's more real to them than the living God of heaven. And, and I tell my girls, I said, you know, could you ever turn your back on God? I said, could you do it? And they go, no, Dad, because we've seen him. He's real. We've seen him. We know he's true. His word is true. And I'll tell you what, we need to start living like God tells us, and God will do things in our lives that we can never imagine, and it will affect our children, and they will, and I'll tell you, it's going to lead to their salvation. But not only that, it's going to lead to having true repentance and wanting to live for God and following the Word, okay, and bringing up a godly seed for God. You know, God said, "Be fruitful and multiply." And he's not just talking about being fruitful and having many children. He's also about being fruitful in how they are raised and how they go out and how they live for Christ. That's being fruitful. That's fruit that lasts. That's good fruit. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of fruit we need in our families. And it takes work, and sometimes you're going to have to sacrifice. And sometimes you're going to have to get on your knees and repent. Sometimes you're going to have to look at your children and say, hey, I was wrong. I had to get on my knees before my children and say, I messed up. And I ask your forgiveness, and let's see what the Lord will do, and trust in Him. And we did, and God is faithful. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Russ, what a powerful, powerful testimony. And I just want to tell you how much, from the bottom of my heart, how thankful I am that you came on tonight and gave that testimony. And when I was listening to you, it was really a reflection of the things we've been talking about tonight, because again, you know, when a woman is not chaste and she's not a keeper of the home, you know, the word of God is blasphemed. But when it's done right, the way you described, you know, the word of God was glorified. And that's why Fox and Friends, that's why CNN, that's why all the Today Show, that's why that opportunity was presented to you, so that God could get all the glory and all the praise.
Amen.
And we're about out of time, brother. We're gonna have to say goodbye to you. But I want to tell you how much I really appreciate you coming on. And if you would, brother, say a prayer for us. Say a prayer for our family. We're about to go into the last phase of our court battle for our children. And it's just I can't even begin to get into that nightmare. But it all goes back to this Proverbs 7 thing. But thank God we're almost at the end of the road, and we just need God to come through for us. And so we covered your prayers. But, brother, thank you for coming on tonight.
Thank you, Brother Brandon and Pastor Cooley, and I appreciate your show. It's been very helpful, and I appreciate you guys getting the word out there. Amen.
Amen,
and we'll keep you in prayer, Brother Brandon, and just trust the Lord. I tell you, he is faithful. Amen.
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 That's right. All right. Well, we're gonna wind this thing down, Brother Cooley, and you know, we're gonna get back into it next week. And
hey, man, we'll pick it up again.
We'll hit it hard, but we got about 50 seconds left in the show, and I just want to tell you, I appreciate us going off into this subject. You know, it is multifaceted. It's not just about a woman committing an act of adultery. It's not just about that. It's a whole way of life that this nation has sadly turned to, the women of this nation have sadly turned to. And, you know, the church follows the world very closely. And it's a shame, but churches in general, the people in them, they follow right behind the world. They try to keep that safe distance, but yet at the same time, it's too close for comfort. But brother, thank you for being on with me. And we've done it again, and we're running out of time. But I want to say to everybody out there listening, let God be true and every man a liar. This is Brother Brandon Teague for Brother Jason Cooley. And it's been good. I've enjoyed it. Let's keep stacking stones of truth. Let's leave something for our children. We'll see you next time on the Old Paths Broadcast.